So I saw a very nice piece of Torah in the Choveret that came out for the Rova. A lot of the rabbis of the Rova submitted articles before Shavuos, and one of them caught my eye in particular that I wanted to develop a little bit and take a closer look at. This really is from Rav Ben-Zion Krieger. I think he teaches in Yeshivat HaKotel, but I'm not sure, but I know him from the Ramban Shul. So he quotes in Shmuel Beis, Perek Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. In there, what's going on is, this is regarding the Pasuk that we say, you don't say it. Some of the Ashkenazim do the Groth says not to say this pasuk during Tachanun because it's a punishment in Koranios. So many don't say it, but many do. Many of the Ashkenazim have the minhag to say it, and the pasuk is Tzali Mahod Nipala Na Biyad Hashem Kirabi Rachamav Biyad Adam Al Epola. I'll just translate it. The pasuk says. What's going on here? David HaMelech is saying to God the Navi, I am distressed. Let us fall into the hands of Hashem, for his mercies are abundant. And let me not fall into the human hands. This is the pasuk that we say in Tachanun. Some say in Tachanun. Now, what was going on over here? What was going on is if we look a few psukim earlier, David was very upset, emotionally hurt, as he was scared about what he did. What he did was he counted the people of Israel, which you're not allowed to do, and he counted them. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayach Lev David, his heart was in pain. Oto Achrechein Safar Sa'am, after he counted the nation, Vayom, that's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer David al Hashem chatati me'od. I did a big aver asher asisi. Ve'ata Hashem. Now Hashem. Ha'aver na es avon abdecha. Ki niskalti me'od. Please get rid of my sin because I did a foolish act. I did a very foolish thing. Okay. And God the Navi now comes to him and says, I'm going to give you three choices. To choose from, three punishments to choose from for what you did. Haloch v'dibarti al David, ko amar Hashem. This is God Hanavi talking to David. Shalosh anochi notel alecha. I'm going to give you a choice of three punishments. Bachar lecha achas mehem. Pick one, ve'eselach, and I'm going to do it. Vayavo God al David, vayaged lo. And he gave him the following choices. He says, "Vayomera hatavolecha sheva shanim raav baratzecha. You can have 7 years of famine in your land. Ve'im, or alternatively, shalosh chadashim nuscha lifnei tzarecha v'hu rodfecha. 3 years of your enemies chasing after you in war. Ve'imayos, or third option, shalosh yavim dever baratzecha. 3 years of a plague." In your land, ata daur emashiva sholchi la davar. Please let me know what you choose, says Gad the Navi. Three very painful options. So now, David HaMelech's response is interesting, but the Meforshim argue as to why he did what he did, why he chose what he chose. But I'll first tell you the decision that David made. Vayomer David el Gad. Sarli ma'od, this is very painful. Nipela nabi ad Hashem, I want to fall into the hands of Hashem. Ki rabim rachamav, he has incredible mercy. Ubiyad adam al epola, I don't want to fall into the hands of man. So he picked the pestilence. 77,000 Jews died in 3 days, in the 3 days of this magefa. But let's take a look at the various mefarshim as to what David was thinking, okay? So the Radak, one of the mefarshim on the Navi, explains an interesting idea. First of all, the Malbim says, like my son Moshe Aaron said at the Shabbos table, when we said this over, he said that he went from the most severe to the most cow, the Malchum said. The most severe was the 3 years of famine. It's 3 years. And then 3 months of war, and then 3 days of pestilence. So David went for the 3 day option as opposed to the 3 year suffering. That's what you wanted to say at the table. So I found it Mefurish in the Malbim discussing the order of the punishments. But David's decision as to why he picked, you would say from the simple pasuk, it's because he wanted to fall into Hashem's mercy. That's what he wanted. But we're going to see in the Mefarshim was a little bit more sophisticated, and then we're going to bring the Tanit Beliyahu at the end. The Radak explains it was a more of a political move, what he did. He says that if he goes after the 7 years of famine, it's not going to look good because we're going to have to go, David is going to have to go and run after the Goyim to get food. And it makes us look weak as a nation. Okay? And therefore, he says, but if I choose 3 years of, it's going to be very humiliating that we have this difficulty, that we need food from them and they all have food. It's going to be a cherpa in the goyim if there's a famine. And the second shot was, and the second idea was that the humiliation of having our enemies chase us in war and kill us is not a pleasant feeling, again, politically. But the Dever, says the Radak, since if it's just a plague, that the nations aren't going to look at us bad. It happens. These magafas happen. That's the way the Radak explains it. The Malbim says it a little bit differently. But let's go to the Malbim. The Malbim also said, as I said before, it was Kal to the Kave, to the Chamor. But it says the Malbim, the David HaMelech saw that the punishment of famine is natural. It's a natural punishment. It happens. You don't have rain. It happens. And the onesh of cherev is bechiri, meaning to say you have choices in how to respond in war, when it comes to war. And therefore, David HaMelech chose the dever, the plague, because it's hashgachi. It is pure hashgacha av Hashem, whereas the ra'av is natural. That's the natural order. Sometimes you don't have rain. Sometimes you do have rain. Very hard to understand this Malbim a little bit, because we understand that rain is also very dependent on how we behave. And if we behave well, we have kindness in, etc. It's hard to understand what he's saying here, but he's making some type of chiluk in the level of the punishment. It's the most hashgacha pratis, the plague. Rashi quotes a medrash, which is very surprising, and this is the one we're going to focus on. He goes into David HaMelech's head, and he says like this. He says, "Tzarli ma'od, because the least of these three punishments is unbearable," says David HaMelech and Rashi. "Nipla b'yad Hashem, hadever, the plague, v'lo acherev, v'lo ra'av. I want not the war and not the famine." Why? Because the, one second, Amar David, imani borer li hacherev achshav, if I pick this, the war, achshav, Yisrael Omrim, what are they going to say, the Jewish people? Not the Goyim. Now he's worried about the Jews. So Radak had David HaMelech worrying about what the Goyim are going to say about the Jewish nation. Now David HaMelech is worried about the Jewish people, what they're going to say. He says, if I pick the war, Yisrael Omrim, Bupotech Bikvurov, he's confident in his power, his might. Shehu lo yamut, he's not going to die, he's the king. V'acherem yamusu, other people are going to die. V'imani bore harav, if I choose the famine, what are they going to say, my people? Yom rubotech uba oshro. He's a rich man. He's confident that he has the money, the bank account. He's going to be fine. All the poor people are going to suffer and die. Evar li davar, dever, shakol shavimbo. I'm going to pick the plague where everyone's equal. Okay? Now, the Tana de Eliyahu, this is the Tana de Eliyahu that Rashi's quoting in the Medrash, so we see he was not only wanting to fall into Hashem's hands, as the Pasuk says. He also, because the famine also is falling into Hashem's hands on some level. So the Medrash has to solve. War is liad adam. Fine, I don't want to fall into their hands, man's hands. He has no mercy. But to fall into Hashem's hands, famine is also Hashem's hands.
Some of the Rakhine, you can still go to other nations for help.
You can go to other nations. You can, that's right. So that's baked fruit. That's mixing in the Malbim. It's all Hashkacha Pratis. It's all Hashem. There's nothing you can do. There's no choices. But the Tana de Eliyahu finishes very interesting, very scary. This is in Tana de Eliyahu, not quoted in Rashi, Perek Zayin Os Gimel. He says, Ba'os Hashah, at that moment, when David HaMelech chose the plague, Yared Malach HaMaves, Mishmei Marom, came from the heavens, Beharag Es Gad HaChose, killed God the Navi. He killed him. Ve'arbas banav shel David. He killed the four sons of David HaMelech also, right there on the spot. Ve'tazkenim shehayun David. All of the rabbis, the zkenim, were his advisors, he killed them too. 77,000 people, the Navi says, died in those 3 days from the plague. Kevan sherah David charbo shel HaMelech HaMaves. The Malach HaMaves was coming after David now to kill him too. Ba'os Hashah, Nichnasbo retet. David Melch started shaking at this when he saw the Navi. Vishuv lo haya bo koach v'chamimus. He lost the ability to stop shaking. He was in a shaking for the rest of his life. And then he had to get the blankets and people to cover him. He could not. That was it. V'amalach heinicha. He left him, right? And what did he do? Instead of killing David HaMelech, he just wiped his sword on David's beged and left him to die. It left him not to, he didn't kill him. So the idea here is that Rabbi Krieger says, Rabbi Benzion Krieger, not our Rabbi Krieger, says a beautiful idea. And this is based on basically a mix of all of the mafarsha we just said. He says that in a war, there's always winners and losers in the war. Some win, some lose. There's always injured people, dead people, suffering, incredible destruction. And the result that comes out of a war, at the aftermath of the war, is there's incredible jealousy, incredible sinna, kinna, and fighting amongst all the people. Maybe during the war itself, there's an incredible amount of achdus that comes from a war. But after the fact, this house got destroyed. This one didn't. This family lost this people. It's a horrible situation. That's what he asserts. So too, in famine, you have people who win and people who lose. Some of the rich people have enough money. They can buy. They can get the money, depending how wealthy they are. And the poor people, they're out of luck. They're going to be the first ones to go. And there's incredible jealousy and pain and hatred amongst the people because no one's sharing. Everybody's hoarding and collecting their own food and trying to maintain their position. And the poor people, of course, are dying. He says the only one that doesn't have this result is the plague. He says, the plague, everybody's getting hit. It doesn't matter whether you're a little, a gadol, katan, rich, poor, no one cares. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make any distinctions. And the result of that, there's no room for the imagination. This is the point that I wanted to take from here. There's no room for anybody to be jealous of other people or critical of other people or hating other people because this is, no one has any control over anything. You're completely at the mercy of Hashem, completely. And he says, this not only does it not bring machlokes, this dever, but it also brings achdus, which is the name of the choveret that we submitted the articles for. Everybody's together. Everybody comes together. And he says the main thing is, no, at least in those times, they were all very well aware that there's not going to be any vaccine that's going to stop this. Back then, there was no vaccines, no trufa, no nothing. They were all very aware of the fact that it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, completely. Who lives and who dies is going to be completely as to whether or not they can get forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, at the end of this chapter in the Navi, of chapter 24, in verse 25, at the end of this paragraph, this chapter, the pasuk says, "Vayivin sham David mizbeach laHashem." He built a mizbeach on Harabais over here. "Vayal olos u'shlamin," brought up olos and shlamin. "Vayeaser Hashem laAretz," and he begged Hashem for Hashem answered their prayers of the land. But teyaser amagev amal Yisrael, and amagev stopped after 3 days, and the 77,000 people. It was over. So you see here, they were all very aware of the fact that it was not dependent on anything but a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nothing. And they were completely united in that front and came together in a beautiful way. For me, this was an inspiring piece because the whole Corona thing is so horrible. This Magefa we're in now. There's very little positives to look forward to other than maybe we're in the suffering before Mashiach, as we've been discussing up until now. But here we have another aspect to focus on. And this point that I wanted to take from Mary Krieger. Anytime we think about the vaccine and the doctors and the laboratories and all of the people creating new medicines to find safety, of course, we're davening for that. But if that in any way loses our perspective and focus that this is directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that there's no way out other than davening to Hashem. That's the real solution. Now that davening to Hashem and tshuva and all that stuff that we have to do, the only way to bring in the scientists, the live laboratories and the pharmacy companies, except pharmaceutical companies, the only way you can bring them into the discussion is if you say that Mike Feelers caused that guy to get the recipe. Solve the medicine, whatever, the vaccine. Anything else, any other thought of the vaccine in some egghead in some laboratory in China or America or Israel, if you think that's going to solve it in any way, and I'm talking to myself now, if you think that that's going to be the solution to get us out of this disaster that we're in right now, You missed the point. That's clearly not what we see from the Navi. That's clearly not what the Navi wants to. I know this is a bit of a passion, what I'm saying now. But there are two sides. One is to focus on Hashem and only Hashem, your tefillah, your tshuva. Every time you say a bracha with kavanah now, that's going to be the thing that makes the vaccine. That's going to stop the megefa. Anytime you do the right thing, that's going to do it. Anything else is irrelevant. Watching the news to see if they have a solution, a vaccine, is not going to get us anywhere. Nothing will happen. The only thing is tshuva. Tshuva for what we did. That's what we see, number one. Number two, and this we have seen to a large degree, there is a tremendous amount of achdus in the world right now, much more than even though the world is crazy right now. It's incredibly scary what's going on between the nations of the world. Incredibly scary. All the superpowers are ready to kill each other right now. However, for the most part, there has been a lot of positive energy that's come out of this plague, this worldwide plague. And if there isn't enough, let's try to engender more, at least amongst ourselves and amongst our families and our communities and everyone. This is nothing, you've heard this many times, but it's not going after a specific sect. It's going after old people. That's true. They're the ones who get it, they're the ones that have to worry the most. But even young people, my daughter really told me, there were some deaths from little children also. So that focus on the fact that we have to come together and realize that this is just Hashem. It's not some Chinese guy who did it in his laboratory or with a bat that came out. That's just the Hechi Timsa. as to how Hashem let it loose. But really, it's all Hashem was doing this to us. What his plan is, we have no idea here. You see the simple of, I don't want to say simple of Avera, but the seemingly mild infraction of counting the Jewish people led to incredible suffering. And compared to all of the other things that are going on in the world and the Avodah Zarah and the horrible things that are happening, we have to understand that this is, we have to do tshuva. We have to do tshuva for every single Avera that we've done. That's the response that we should have now. In addition to following all the rules, wearing the masks, etc., all of the things that we have to do for our regular hishtalas, don't be fooled and think that that's the thing that's going to protect you. That's not the thing that's really going to protect you. If you don't do it, for sure you're putting yourself in a sakana. But if you do it, that doesn't mean you're not going to get it. The only thing that's really going to stop this is responding to what Hashem is doing. What is Hashem doing to us now? And that is the main message I wanted to share. We want to fall into the hands of Hashem because he has rachamim. That is the pasuk that David HaMelech said that started to get him out of the disaster that he created, the foolish act that he had done. My bracha to all of us is that we can really think about the positive of what this corona can bring to us in terms of our consciousness that Hashem is specifically running the world. Try to think about that now for the next period of time. Think about Hashem and why is he doing this to us, to me, and what can I do to change, to become a better person and closer to Hashem, as we always do, but now specifically. We see that David HaMelech, according to Rashi and the Malbim, was very much thinking about how the world or the Jewish people are going to perceive the plague. The plague is the most connected to Hashem, and nobody can avoid it. Those are the two points that we see from the Mepharshim here. Any questions before we stop?
Well, one point of clarification from one of the members of the yeshiva, it's clear that David HaMelech got the message right, and he's falling into Hashem's hands, but it would seem that no matter which three of the options he chose, the amount of deaths were still under Hashem's control, so we weren't going to suffer more or less. That really wasn't his cheshbon. So the point of clarity is that really his cheshbon was just more along the lines of how will it be perceived either by the nations of the world or by us, and that's really how he made his calculation.
Right. He wanted to make it as much Hashem as possible and let the least man as possible. The most Hashem has two aspects. The most Hashem is that it's all me and him. Nobody else is involved. No choices, no strategies, nothing. That's according to the Malbim. According to Rashi, no one can claim that he was doing something to protect himself, because when it comes to Hashem, you cannot, no monkey business. You can be a rich man or a poor man or a strong man. No one's getting out of it. No one. And those two aspects make us fully focused on Hashem. No way, no diversions or distractions. That's what comes out from here. But the punishment was going to be the same, but theoretically it could have been worse. You understand? Could have been much worse if people don't get the point that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it. He's going to have to do more and more and more.
Would there have been a tzad to look at it and choose the man way, or that's not even a reasonable Havamina?
It was a Havamina. The Navi gave it to him as a choice. It's clear there was a real Havamina. I didn't work on that point. There was a Havamina to choose the other ones. But David, his maskana was, I want to do the thing that's going to focus the most on Hashem. Any other thing we do in battle or in war, famine, anything else can be ignored. Do we have good political contacts to get us out of this? Can we get food from the other nations of the world? There's always another avenue other than Hashem. In war, let's get another general, let's build a bigger bomb, whatever it is, let's get more soldiers. There's always another direction. But he wanted to focus everything on Hashem. No way to distract it. So now we do have a distraction. That's what I brought up before. We have a distraction. We can still think that the Chinese guy or the scientist is going to be the solution. And that's the stock market. and the world is looking for the solution. Are they going to find it? This drug company, this one. But for us, there's only one message. It's only Hashem. Forget about anybody else. Okay?
Thank you.